Hello and welcome to Season 4 of Talk On Talks Agriculture. Over the past three seasons, we have talked to a variety of guests from everything from crop inputs to more information on precision ag technology and sustainability. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest, Julie Bushell, who is the president of Page Wireless. Thanks for joining us today, Julie.
Thanks for having me, Dave. It's great to be here.
Now, Julie, you are based out in Nebraska now with Page Wireless. Kind of talk us through what Page Wireless is and what your role is with the company.
Absolutely. So Page Wireless is a LoRaWAN network provider. That stands for Long Range Wide Area Network, really the protocol for the Internet of Things. I am the president of Page Wireless, and we have built the first statewide LoRaWAN network in North America.
Wow. And that's specific directly to Nebraska, or is it kind of starting to push the boundaries and getting into some of the neighboring states?
We're starting to push the boundaries. What's been really awesome to see is the foundation of our network, Dave, was agriculture and hoping to accelerate precision agriculture and give our producers the tools they need to be efficient and profitable and ultimately prove the great job that they do. And I'm going to tell you now that the carbon markets have come into play and really a focus on traceability and sustainability, we're starting to get quite the reach in other ag states, if you will, and beyond.
Absolutely. So now just briefly kind of walk us through how you got to with Page Wireless and kind of what the overall mission statement is. Is it to eventually be able to bring this service to all of America, all of North America, or what's the vision here?
Sure. So Page Wireless launched in 2019 as a wholly owned subsidiary of Page Electric. And Page Electric is a 65-year-old company, particularly in the wire, cable, and connectivity space. And I've been with the company 16 years, and my focus has always been on precision agriculture, irrigation, and groundwater management. And the company was really founded to connect those industries and connect precision ag better, if you will. And as we know here in Nebraska and many rural areas, cell phone coverage doesn't even exist. And for precision ag, or let's say even efficient irrigation to happen, there needed to be a connectivity solution that was cost effective for producers to adopt. Our goal is to go into the states, into ag states that have these particular situations where we're going to talk about the digital divide and go in and give them a solution to bridge that divide. So our goal absolutely is to go ag states first, and we would love to be a full nationwide LoRaWAN network provider.
Now, to a listener that's sitting there right now saying kind of, what does this mean for me? What is the difference between what they're currently using and maybe what we're talking about here today, and what would some of the effects they see just on their day-to-day life and maybe not even in agriculture?
Yeah, so currently the Internet of Things to me really means the connection of anything, right? The Internet of Things should really mean you can apply a sensor to anything that would make life more efficient. And in agriculture, where we've seen the most rapid amount of growth in the connection point has been particularly soil moisture probes, well monitors, RFID tags for cattle or livestock, water quality sensors, and I could keep going down the list, right? But how this compares to the technologies being used today is a lot of that technology is running on cellular connectivity. And with that cellular connectivity, you're paying a pretty high subscription fee for bandwidth that maybe isn't needed just to connect something, right? So typically, if you're paying a cellular fee, you're also paying to be able to live stream something. Well, soil moisture probes, you don't need to live stream. You just need a chirp of data to get you where you need to go. So the LoRaWAN protocol and the IoT really is about bringing the cost down to a level that you're only paying for the bandwidth that's needed. And in this case, you know, instead of a $200 cell subscription fee, customers are paying $2 for a subscription fee to the LoRaWAN network and for those connected devices.
Right. And would this have the capability to also get into correction sources, bringing that cellular connectivity into cabs for correction source at the same kind of rate?
Well, we do get asked that quite a bit, and it is something that we're looking at today. It's a great question, Dave. One thing that we're working on and doing a little research and development on is our latency on LoRaWAN. So is it going to be effective enough to do correction services? And I hope to have some really awesome news for you and the listeners here within the next few months.
Yeah, and you know, I think that is probably one of the initial steps into cellular connectivity, at least certainly in my area. You know, the first question is always steering and how will it affect steering and how will it enhance the performance of steering? And with, you know, real-time kinetics or RTK, that steering gets increasingly better with cellular connectivity. And so, you know, if we could be able to bring it all together where we have cellular connectivity that provides an RTK correction source along with this, you know, maybe lower rate of data needed to be able to do some of this data transferring, we'll probably start hitting home runs pretty quick, correct?
Absolutely. And you just pointed out something that's been really important to our deployments across the state in particular. And that is knowing that as you have these sensors that are chirping, you know, very small packets of data, that essentially is going to lead you to more autonomy, more efficiencies, which those technologies, you know, autonomously driving a grain cart, for example, you need a lot more bandwidth to do that, right? And in Nebraska, again, not having that cellular service is going to inhibit that precision ag adoption and growth. So one of our initiatives as a LoRaWAN network provider was actually our end game was to bridge the digital divide for our customers in these rural areas and bring them high bandwidth as well. So as we deployed LoRaWAN, we wanted to make sure our network obviously was carrier grade, redundant network. So we work with the local and rural ISPs and WISP in the area. And we become a customer of theirs, which means we're going to require more bandwidth from them. And typically, WISP and ISPs are only looking at servicing the home or a business. They don't quite understand what it means to deliver for precision agriculture. You know, how do you bring data from, you know, a tractor moving and live stream video and also give them the capability to be on a Zoom meeting in the tractor? We've seen an awesome evolution of our network in building out sensors. So for the first time ever, we're pulling data at massive levels from sensors off of cropland, off of cattle in the field, you know, off of water tanks, et cetera. And that data demand has now begun to start making the business case for internet service providers to bring connectivity and bring internet service out to the farm, you know, out to the tractor, out to the home, which may have not seen it before.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at TopCon's specific suite of products when it comes to sensors and sensory networks, we as a company just about can sensor anything from, you know, our crop spec looking for plant health as you spray or boom height control sensors. And that's stuff that can all be fed back to any source of data collection, right? And it's just giving you more and more information and tools to work with year over year, which is just going to allow for better farming practices and allow farmers to become better stewards of the land too.
Absolutely right. And I think it's so very important to speak about the necessity to connect those things, you know, to connect your technology, to connect our technology, because for far too long, we've looked at the importance of connecting just the home or just the business. But when you look at connecting everything on the farm, you know, your sensors, for example, you may have 20 up to 100 on the farm. You then started creating the business case and the data load needed for the service providers to get out to those rural areas and to the farm. And I think that's really important. And that's something that I work with Mike Gomes on with the SCC Precision Ag Task Forces. We need to look at funding mechanisms that would look at those implements on the farm as customers and provide funding for that. And we believe that will begin to solve the problem that we have today of no connectivity on the farm.
thanks for joining and listening to TopCon Talks Agriculture today. I'm joined by Julie Bushell from Page Wireless, and we're having a real good chat today on cellular connectivity and being able to bring some connection into all those places in the rural areas, such as tractor cabs or even the grain bin yards, because more and more are we seeing Bluetooth capabilities on grain and grain dryers and even grain cleaners. So we understand that there's a huge, market out there, or need, I guess would be a better word for it. Julie, have you been obviously seen the struggles of working with maybe some of these other cellular providers that don't understand exactly what this means to agriculture and the agricultural industry?
Yes, we certainly have. I think a fundamental lack of understanding the importance of what this means for the agriculture industry is inherent in the space. A perfect example of that is, a cell provider will go and they'll install their equipment on a cell tower and say, okay, well, this area is covered now. But what is not taken into account is physics on the farm, right? A lot of our sensors are deployed on the ground or very close to it, under corn canopy that maybe just got irrigated and is very humid. And at that point, it's not going to connect to a cell tower. And I think, what we do as a company is focus on that sensor, right? The sensor has to connect or our network means nothing.
Do you work in partnership with some of these cellular networks, specifically in Nebraska, or is it just kind of a let's go do this and show America what needs to be done for our agriculture industry?
It was a let's go do this and let's really task ourselves to create very innovative partnerships. So as we announced Page Wireless, we actually partnered with Nebraska Public Power District and several of the rural public power districts like Custer Public Power, who's in the middle of the state in a very rural area. And while they can't deliver any type of retail broadband service to the customers or their customers, they can allow us to use their assets, and we can get very creative in how we deploy for agriculture in that way. And this kind of coalition, if you will, of interested parties who recognize the problems got together, and we didn't need the cell providers at that point, right? And that's been something that we wanted to prove, is that we've had a digital divide problem for a very long time. It's going to take thinking outside of the box to fix it.
Right. Now, so for somebody on the farm that's sitting there saying, the cellular signals and all that is kind of a mumble jumbo to me, what is the physical, what am I physically seeing being implemented on my farm to be able to get this LoRaWAN connectivity that Julie's talking about here today?
Yeah, so we pride ourselves in being a carrier-grade network. So we actually deploy, own, operate, and service our hardware. So most of the time, farmers, producers don't see us, doing the deployment to cover their particular land. It's usually on a high point. It will be in some cases on towers, whether that be a utility tower. In some cases, it is a cell tower, where we're leasing space from them, or it could be a grain elevator. And that radio essentially is going to broadcast LoRaWAN network across the farm. And then the customer would be able to purchase any LoRaWAN standard device, just as they would, something they're using today with a SIM card in it, a cell SIM card in it. But instead, these devices are battery powered and they connect right to the LoRaWAN network.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, once the sensor has sent some data through this network, are you controlling where this data is going or how this farmer is, sending this data? Or is it just a preference of their choice, such as maybe the TopCon Agriculture platform, or TAP as we call it, that they can utilize this data information on?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. That's one very important piece of our network. We actually are very, very complimentary of the work you guys have done and really understanding the value of producer-owned data and allowing the producer to choose where that data goes. And that's essentially what we do. So the producer can choose where the data goes. We are an open source network, so we work through open APIs. And our goal really is to, you know, open up the solution set possible for the producer to adopt. And I think by doing that, we're showing the value of precision ag by bringing the cost down, but we're also showing the value by not being a proprietary network or proprietary solution provider. However we capture data now can now go to any of our partners, such as Topcon.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's something that I know Topcon certainly prides itself on with TAP, is that the data is the end users. It's a cloud-based service where they have access to a digital platform that they control and they moderate. And when they delete it, it's deleted. And we just want to be, sounds kind of similar to Page Wireless, where we just want to be the facilitator of the end user being able to collect that data and utilize that data how they desire. And that's simply it. And that's all.
Absolutely. And honestly, Dave, I think that's going to be the key piece that's going to empower the acceleration of precision agriculture. And I say that because we've spent 2 years on the ground educating producers, stakeholders, legislatures, senators about the importance of producer-owned data. And reason being, if the producer can leverage the data, and we do a great job at educating them on why that's so important, as you do at Topcon, the producer will then start to think, well, maybe I have a value add here where I could leverage this data and maybe, you know, drive consumer confidence where they can see how I raise, you know, my livestock, how my cattle was raised, or maybe it's how efficiently I irrigated the corn I'm growing. And I think that's going to be something that the market will demand. And if we are the providers educating the producer on how to leverage that data and therefore having them own the data, we've done our job, you know, and that's what I'm super proud of, is being able to work with companies that have that same mindset and are certainly working together to further that in the food supply space.
Right. And then, so I guess a question that I have is, 5 years from now, what do you hope, or what do you foresee the adoption rate of this being? Let's just say in your area of Nebraska, we all know that you obviously have the network and the ability to continue expanding to the agricultural states. But what do you hope to see in 5 years or 10 years out of this whole vision that Paige has set forth with?
Our motto is putting the power back in the hands of the industries that we serve. And in 5 or 10 years, Dave, I would love to see the ag market move from being very proprietary and siloing data and siloing solutions to a more open, standards compliant industry, if you will, where the transfer of data is easy. You know, I can send the data to you, I can send it to John Deere, all because the producer chose to. And I think that will inherently accelerate adoption. You know, in precision ag, we talk about the top 10, 15% of the early adopters who will try anything. I want precision agriculture to be tangible and easy to adopt and essentially reachable to 80 to 85% of producers. Of course, all of them if they choose it, but we have to make it easier and we have to make sure that we keep our focus on standards and interoperability so that that can happen. You know, the days of producers having 20, 30 different apps to run their farm, that just can't last much longer. You know, we task them with feeding, fueling, and creating the fiber for the world. We have to make it more efficient for them to operate.
Right. And as we kind of are seeing a little bit, I guess maybe more in my area than anything, but we're seeing that slow start of the changing of the guard, where the younger generation is really coming back to the farm, maybe after a university or college experience, and they're bringing some of this knowledge back of how to work with this data and what they've collected. I think that will help turn that tide, right? And maybe farms and end users will really start to look at justifying those costs as they move forward on the farm. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. We often say, as we're deploying, it's so important to remember that the generation coming back to the farm, connectivity is a requirement and it's expected. Maybe for their parents or grandparents, it was just a luxury, but that's not the case anymore. And so it's absolutely necessary to make sure we're delivering the connectivity so the next generation does come back and the next generation can continue to feed us, you know, and clothe us. It's vitally important.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, you're kind of hitting to the same things that I'm saying as along the lines of precision agriculture is no longer just being able to go down the field in a straight line without holding the steering wheel. And, you know, gone are the days of sitting at a trade show talking about how auto steer is going to save on your shoulders and all that. It's certainly a key, let's say, benefit of having that guidance. But now we're actually getting the tangible data that states the profitability of having this implemented onto your farm. And Page Wireless are just giving more and more opportunities to implement more and more of these things or data collectors onto the farm, correct?
Yeah, and I appreciate you mentioning that because I do get asked often, well, what is precision agriculture? And my answer always is, well, at the time it was GPS, you know, it was precision planting, it was precision irrigation, but that's changed now. It's efficientizing and creating a better quality of life. And now I think you've touched on using the data for profitability and better managing the farm and better managing inputs and better managing, you know, our most valuable resource, which is water. But I think now we're starting to see it also be leveraged in ways we touched on before. You know, this data can be leveraged in carbon market should producer choose, or it could be leveraged to, you know, really define what labels on food could mean and have the data to back it up. And I think that's a very important part of where we are in agriculture today. I think allowing the producers to have that data and now deliver the data to them, we'll start seeing a shift. And I think it will certainly be that next generation, Dave, that understands what data means and how they can leverage it and maybe aren't nearly as afraid of what it all means, right? Because farms do produce a lot of data, and it's our jobs to put in a meaningful, easy to read platform that can be leveraged. But now it's not just being leveraged for, you know, driving a tractor in a straight line or maybe just efficient irrigation. It can be leveraged in all sorts of ways that I don't even think we can begin to imagine today.
We're joined here today by Julie Bushell, president of Page Wireless. Julie, a couple of episodes ago on TopCon Talks, I had the pleasure of talking with Kurt Blades and his recent study on the sustainability of precision agriculture and what it actually means. And, you know, if we see an uptake in adaptation of precision ag, the benefits in fossil fuels that we need less of, you know, even precision ag, when it comes to irrigation, how much less water we could save across North America or just specifically America as a whole. This is kind of, I would imagine that you're familiar with that report, being that this is almost a direct link to that report saying that report is correct. If we continue down this path of take up of precision agriculture and using sensors and understanding that maybe less water from the irrigation pivot means more success or more profitability while saving a valuable resource, we are on the right path. And I would imagine that what you're presenting us here today is kind of that, not the answer, but the way that we can get to that sustainability through precision agriculture.
Yes, I'm very familiar with the report and I 100% agree. You know, you can't change what you can't measure. And that's where a lot of precision agriculture comes into play. As with sensors, you know, if we're talking irrigation, you can see the water level in the root zone. And instead of kicking the dirt and saying, oh, it's dry today, you go to your soil moisture probe and you can see you have ample water. I mean, if we can do that, you know, at a scalable level, just think of the water savings. But it also goes directly to profitability. You know, that will inherently lower input costs for the producer. And I think the report's phenomenal in that it lays the groundwork of how precision ag does enable sustainability. But I also think an important factor of that is you can't measure these things without the connectivity there to do so, right? And so, you know, going back to the rural broadband discussion on farm, we have a duty to deliver connectivity so that we can see those benefits and the sustainable benefits of precision agriculture.
Yeah, I guess in a way you're kind of answering that, you know, that farmer that's able to sit there and say, well, that's a great report, but it's physically not possible on my farm because I can't implement some of those precision ag technologies. But I guess when they pair it with your company, that farmer can now say, hey, look, I can be on this highway to sustainability really easily, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And that's, I would imagine, the end goal. Is this something that you and Page Wireless, I know Kurt over at EM is certainly using and leveraging against some local governments and maybe some national governments too, saying, hey, let's get out there and let's provide some incentives to these farmers because we are trying to be a green industry and we are trying to work and make sure that we are being true stewards of the land and helping this land be as healthy as possible while feeding the world and providing fibers for clothes for the world. Is that something that you kind of utilize and work with, you know, either other providers or local governments to try and see if you can get some kind of stimulus into this project?
Yes, we actually do. We worked with Senator Lindstrom here in Nebraska, who has a bill, which is LB 176 in the Nebraska legislature, that would allow just a $2,500 tax credit for producers who qualify for EQIP or the CSP program. They do not have to be participating. But the goal of that bill was really to just, you know, incentivize producers to adopt a soil moisture probe, a rain bucket, your technology, so that they can begin to get their feet wet, if you will, and see data from a device. And our thought behind that support of the bill was, once producers start adopting these technologies, they'll be able to prove their sustainable practices. They'll be able to prove that their livestock was humanely raised and had proper water and feed. And that same data can be leveraged in carbon markets should they choose. You know, they can be leveraged in building consumer confidence, but it all starts with the adoption of precision agriculture.
Right. And now, what would you say to an end user if you're at a farm show when, you know, the time's permitted again? What would you say to an end user that says, that's great that I can collect the data, but I don't know what to do with the data or I don't know how that data can utilize it? What's the easiest solution to that question?
I think from the producer perspective, it's going to be up to companies like yours and Page Wireless or any of our technology partners to present the data in a visual dashboard that is usable. I completely agree. You know, data doesn't mean much if you can't read it and you can't take action. And that's what I charge our partners with, is let's make it easy to use. It should be, right? You know, our iPhones are easy to use. We know how to do that now. That's exactly what ag tech should be as well. Easy to use and easy to adopt.
Yeah, and I guess definitely you kind of look at the last 5 years of ag tech and, you know, some of these variable rate maps that you'd get printed off with thousands of polygrams and all this, right? And a farmer sits there and looks at it and says, yeah, this is why I pay an agronomist, obviously, right? But through your technology and through a platform such as TAP, we are actually, you know, our mission is to enable a farmer to use his own data for his own benefit, where they can sit there and they can look at the high spots or the low spots of a field that they've collected data off of and understand maybe a little bit more so the profitability of certain areas or, you know, input savings in other areas. Because one thing that we commonly talk about is that it's not about getting more necessarily bushels to the bin. It's maybe about saving on input costs. Is that making money when you're saving money, right? But that all comes hand in hand with collecting the proper data at the proper times of the year.
Absolutely. And I love what you just said, because I was in a producer meeting just the other day, and the comment was, well, I can grow 300 bushel an acre corn, but what does that mean for me? You know, what does that mean for the water use, the energy usage, and all the inputs going in? And when you can prove that, you're empowering the producer to make the decision that's best for their operation. You know, and I just think that's so vitally important.
Yeah, and that's a conversation we quite often have up in Canada with the canola industry is, the higher the bushels or the average yield, the higher your input costs are going to be, right? And what's the happy medium between higher profitability between your input costs and your yield, right?
Absolutely. And I love that we can now have that conversation and be able to provide the data to show exactly what that does mean.
And that is the crucial key missing part in a lot of these conversations, is that the data might not be there to back that up yet. It might not be the correct data, and you know, maybe we do find ourselves sometimes where we're using things like variable rate on the seeding side of things, but maybe not using the best yield data collecting, right? And sometimes it's one of those situations where we have to look at what we're doing and make sure that we're either all in or we understand where we're at. You know, we're not calibrating, guys aren't calibrating their yield monitors every day or their moisture monitors every day on their combines, which leads in a way to false data. But at the same time, we're so close to collecting the proper data to be able to quantify all of these, you know, things that we are trying to put onto the farm, and these sensors that we have on the farm working for us. Once we get that learning out there, that the better off we are collecting data, the better our data is going to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's certainly an exciting time for agriculture. And I think one thing I've really respected about TopCon and how you go to market is it is about giving the producer the choice, you know, to make the best decision for their operation rather than, you know, here's one segment of the data, you know, make it the best it can be. It's kind of looking at the whole and providing actionable data sets that can really reflect on the operation as a whole, and then allow that producer and empower them to make decisions based on how they want to run. No farm is the same, you know, as the next door neighbor. We're all incredibly unique. And I love the solutions that you have and really allowing that to shine. You know, I think as an industry, if we're telling our story, which I do believe we need to get better at, we do need to educate consumers and really the world of how great we are at sustainable practices and the hard work that goes into making sure our soils are healthy.
Right.
The data that you are providing those producers, we can begin to tell that story in a much better way. And a lot of the issue that was holding that back was there wasn't connectivity to do so. You know, we didn't have the data to back that up, and now we do. And I think that's really leading to pretty exciting times for us in the ag industry.
Absolutely. And I 100% agree. Very exciting. The simple concept of getting cellular connectivity to these, you know, sometimes hundreds of sensors on a farm, and making sure that end users know what to do with it or how to utilize it, is only going to create an absolutely positive change in the agricultural industry and create sustainability and moving forward. And in turn, it will continue to allow farmers in North America to continue feeding the world, right? Providing grains and off products of the stems and all that to the world to be used and utilized. And you know, for somebody such as yourself and Page Wireless to be on the forefront of that is certainly an exciting thing for you guys, I'm sure. And, you know, I can't wait to kind of keep an eye on Page and see what you guys do as you expand, hopefully throughout the United States and maybe even up into my neck of the woods up here in Canada.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dave.
No worries. Thank you very much, Julie, for joining us. Very insightful talk. Is there, you know, any webpage or Twitter handle that somebody could maybe go and get some more information on Page Wireless?
Absolutely. It's pagewireless.com, which is PAIGE wireless.com. And same on all social media as well, Page Wireless.
Awesome. Perfect. And when you're doing that, don't forget to check out the TopCon Agriculture Plat on all TopCon websites and social medias also. So once again, thank you, Julie, for your time here today, and I look forward to catching up with you in the future.
Thank you, Dave. I really appreciate the opportunity. Mm-hmm.